You're listening to episode 67. We'll be celebrating the 1994 Beatnuts release, Street Level. And what better way to celebrate this special album than with some special guests? We'll be breaking down this classic album track by track with Psycho Les of the Beatnuts. Keep it locked.
Yo, just relax. Take it easy. No matter what go on, I'm still getting mine.
Still.
Take it personal.
Ha, 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 ha. Respect.
What you waiting for?
Got a style on mathematics, I'm like.
Oh my God, I'm a
danger.
Take it
personal. Yo, yeah, this is DJ Premier. Take it personal radio. Y'all always doing the damn thing, and y'all need to listen up.
All right, yo, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you motherfuckers are tuned in, because right now, if you don't know what the fuck is about to go on, bitch, this is Take It Personal, with my boy, Philip Flavor, Kevlar, A-Aaron, Roger the Announcer, and DJ 360 with his thinking ass.
Take it personal.
Y'all,
I'm getting ready to put y'all up on something, man.
Yo, what's up? It's Eric Selman, the Green Knight Bandit, representing the EPMD. Here on Take It Personal Radio. This the truth.
Yeah, y'all.
Checking out the Take It Personal Radio show.
Yeah, it's your boy Falmont. You already know what it is.
Right now you're checking out the Take It Personal show.
Nothing but the real hip-hop.
The revolution is here.
No doubt. Y'all care anymore about this hip-hop, man?
Yo, this is KRS-One.
Check it out, this is Marco Polo.
Yo, check this out, it's the Soul Brother number one, Pete Rock.
Yup, y'all know the name.
Right now you're tuned in to Take It Personal. Basically, they know what the fuck they're doing, and you don't. So pay attention. You might learn something.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have another special guest. We have none other than Psycho Les on the phone. What up, Psycho?
Yep. What's good out there?
So as you know, we are celebrating Street Level, and I asked the same question to Al Tariq. What is the proper way to call this album? Because for many of us, it's Street Level. For some, it's just the self-titled Beatnuts album. What do you prefer? Yeah. The proper way of calling this album, this classic album, by its name?
I mean, we call it Street Level, you know? It's called Street Level because that's what you could identify it by, you know? It's on every cover, you know?
So that just organically came into the shot, right? You guys weren't planning on naming it Street Level. You're just going back looking at some of the photos.
We like the photo because of that.
Right. So
it just became the street title for it.
Yeah.
But the stores just took it as the Beatnuts.
Okay.
So it was under the Beatnuts. It wasn't under, you can't find it on the Street Level, you know?
So when when you brought your check to the bank, it was under Beatnuts, not under Street Level.
Exactly.
There you go.
It's pretty impressive that 26 years later, here we are talking about this album, what it really means to hip hop, what it means to us four right here. And as I said this earlier to Tariq, 1994 was one of the most remarkable years in hip hop history, period. Like 88, 93, 94, those are the top kind of years. And you guys came out at a time where you had Illmatic, you had Ready to Die, you know, and your album, you know, I know you're on the phone, so I'm not really just trying to say this, but your album's right there. I mean, for many of us, it's one of those albums that stood the test of time and continues to age gracefully. I mean, it's a perfect, ideal summertime album. I mean, and again, here we are talking about it a quarter century later as how important it is. So that's got to be really cool for you to know that your art stood the test of time, you know?
Fuck yeah, hell yeah. You know what I'm saying? Every day I realize, like, yo, that shit is ill, man. How my music just reached people and shit. Just a hobby could turn into something serious, you know? I mean, a lot of people like Take It or Squeeze It. They like Stone Crazy. They like the Musical Massacre. Mm-hmm. Has a lot of joints on there. So everybody got their favorite. My personal favorite is the EP. Because we had
the remix of Spot.
Yeah.
The original.
The EP. But I also like the remix. The remix was kind of, we tweaked up everything, made it sound bigger.
You know, I'll be honest, man. I totally forgot about that album for quite a while until we decided we were going to make this tribute episode, and I was going through, just looking through the Beat Nuts catalog, and I was like, oh shit, that's right, man. They had that fucking remix joint. And I went back, and it's nice to hear a 3-minute version of Let Off a Couple. So that yeah. itself.
Not only that, you guys showcased the bodega better than any on the planet. You know, like all those little New York innuendos about the bodega. Look, I asked Al earlier about the logo. So being that you guys flipped the Hank Mobley logo, was that something that you did, or was it a collective thing? And were you guys just flipping through, you know, albums? And
it was actually the art team from the label Relativity,
right?
And us, we just had a meeting together with a bunch of jazz books and art joints, and we just, you know, narrowed them down to a few. And we kind of felt that little the note, you know. So
it's very rare that the white guys from the record label get it right, and that was it's such an iconic.
But our twist was that we made it red, and we called it Intoxicated Demons, and we gave it the meanness to it. We turned it mean.
Who came up with Intoxicated Demons?
I don't even remember. It's probably, I don't know, us. It's definitely between us.
I think Al gave you the credit.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I did used to come up with a lot of crazy shit, and everybody
said that's a steez.
Yeah.
We were talking to him, and any crazy stories always had your name tied to him, bro.
I'm crazier than the next, but you guys were DJs early on. You guys weren't together, but you guys just DJs before you started out, right?
Neighborhood DJs, and I got my first job right like in high school at a Music Factory in Manhattan, and that was like the biggest record vinyl store out at the time. Yeah, so
I actually used to go to Numbers your way in Junction Boulevard.
Boulevard, yeah, Numbers.
Great shit over there, and Rock and Soul, of course, with some good early finds back in the day.
But yeah, I got that job so I could get my records half price. So I was just thinking like a DJ. I'm like, yo, I'm gonna have every record.
The album itself, I know you and Juju really are the ones that do the majority of the production. It sounds like you guys had so much fun making this album. Just the synergy, the way you guys got, you know, go back and forth.
That album was a party, B. Every session was a party.
It feels like it.
Yo, my boy Lucien was in town from France. I don't know if you remember Lucien.
Of course.
So he was in town. Yo, everybody was, we was picking people off the street and just throwing them in the booth and just having them singing, doing, yo, just whatever. Anyway, yo, there was people ordering food, burgers and deluxe burgers and fries and all that shit. So when they got to the studio, it would be there already. And these are people that are not even artists. It's like people was just wilding, just killing budgets. You know, budgets was crazy back then.
I was bugged out by the crazy studio session you guys had when you had the gun with the blanks in it.
Yeah. That was with
a crazy ass story, man. How'd that happen?
That was a Big Pun. He had a fucking blank gun shooter. You know, it just popped up. And then Chris Conway was the engineer. He heard that shit and he fucking got shook. He started running and they slammed the door.
Did they really put an apple over somebody's head like they were going to really try to shoot it off?
No, they did. He shot, but it was a blank. Nothing comes out. It just makes a sound. Boom. Yeah, he tilted his head and it fell. And the engineer seen that and he was like,
Wouldn't they say they're going to put like a grape on the engineer's
head? Tell him, yo, you next. You're going to put the grape on your head.
Jesus. Funny shit.
A Pun was a prankster like that. He was a crazy prankster. I remember one time we was shooting a video, and one of the video guys, he had his phone. He left the phone there, his cell phone, and Pun was like, yo, watch this. He lifted his shirt up, and he was like, gross. He put it back down. Yo, the dude came back, grabbed his phone, and said, yo, what the fuck? Yo, every little hole in the phone was full of cheese, yo.
Oh, gross. Yo, hey, was it a brick phone? It was fucking 1994,
It was one of them funky phones, you know, like a flip phone, probably.
$5 a minute.
Phones in 94. I just had a pager.
Well, it wasn't 90. It was probably like 96, right? 96.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Are you from Jackson Heights? Why did I think you're from Jackson Heights? You are from Jackson Heights.
Yeah, okay. I am Jackson. And Corona, the only thing that divides us is Junction Boulevard. It's like a street, the big street.
You ever been to Armando's in Jackson Heights?
Yeah. They had a little record shop early over there in Jackson Heights, and I used to get all my Sugar Hill records, all that, real early.
And welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own Mr. Randy Watson. Yes!
Jackson Heights is like Calcutta, though, these days.
Yeah. Got it. I don't even recognize that place anymore.
I know. You guys used to go to Parkside in Corona? Parkside Restaurant?
Yeah, definitely. All over that, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, look, let's get into the record, because I know you got limited time and we appreciate it.
Yeah, so let's do it. So what was the first joint?
So obviously the first is the intro. So we got that. But You Don't Stop sets off this record.
Yeah.
So take us into the studio during this time. This is the lead into the album.
That was my boy, Papa Lou, Lucian, that made the beat. He used to actually live with me in the basement. So, you know, the whole time he was in New York, he used to live with me.
I come equipped with shit that's fucking wicked. Damn, niggas can't fuck with the program. I take a stand and look down the cliff, take a swig, then spark up the split. Boom. Niggas know the time with the beat nuts funk. John Wayne got smoke when I pop the trunk. Punk. I told you once and I won't tell you twice. I smoke the blunts and we won't pay the price. For pussy or any fucking mask, for some raw dog style in your girl's ass.
So that was one of his beats that I told him, yo, I want that. Keep it in the stash. So
shit's
when
hard.
It was time to drop this beat, we dropped that one.
First of all, I want to know, because when you made this record, and I know that it wasn't in the order that we hear it. Like, for instance, I know Props Over Here was probably one of the last songs you guys recorded.
Yeah.
Did you know that this was going to be a banger out the gate when you made it?
I mean, we knew all our beats was bangers. We already halfway there. All we had to do was deliver. Shit is fire, you know?
Out of, like, the songs on the album, which one, I know we're kind of skipping around, but which one is, like, your favorite as far as, like, for you, like, that best represents you?
I like Straight Jacket.
Yeah.
It's up-tempo, it's funky, it got the sample in there, the hook, and it's just crazy.
We were talking to Al Tariq about this, but I was saying there's like three or four songs that have perfect samples where you actually go from the beginning to the very end. And those songs just like flow. They're really like quintessential nuts. That's really what made your signature.
Mm-hmm. You know what's another one of my favorite? The Props remix.
Yeah.
Herbie Hancock. The boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, so are you part of the group that didn't necessarily want Props Over Here to be your lead single?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't care too much about it. It was a request from the label, so we made a little joint. We actually had an answering phone, like a hotline or some shit, and people used to call and leave us messages, and they'll receive prizes and whatever the hell, but right. I would listen to those messages, and then one kid was like, yo, calling you up from wherever the fuck, I don't know, but Oklahoma or whatever, and yo, you get Props Over Here.
So, oh, shit. So, that's so how it came about, huh?
That's how, bang, I was like, yeah, when I'm out there, you know what I want to hear. Yeah,
there you go.
It reminded me a little bit of like a world tour by Tribe, and ironically, we heard the story where Lighty played this joint for Tip. And Tip was like, this should be the single. Now, I don't, you know, I don't know if that's what happened.
I mean, definitely Baby Chris was definitely going back and forth and playing the album for people. And, you know, but me and Juju used to be in the studio with Tribe. And I used to tell Juju, yo, what's up with all this jazzy shit, B? Like, I want to hear some hard shit, you know?
Uh-huh. That's what made you guys who you are. I mean, you know, that's...
Exactly. So that's the difference. And Juju would just tell me, yo, just let these niggas do what they do. When it's our turn, we're going to do the hardcore.
You know? Mm-hmm. You kind of mix the two. So
yeah, we was doing hardcore to jazz beats.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, like, totally.
Like no equal, like, you know, and we flipped the Q-tip sample too.
Ran to the tech.
So it made it so great.
Yeah,
so, like, you know, one of the reasons I think Props Over Here works for your single is because it's an anthem.
Yeah.
The hook is an anthem. It's a call and response and kind of like a hip hop hooray kind of thing, but slowed down, you know, with more of a street feel to it.
Looking back on it now, I mean, you must be like, okay, that actually worked, you know? At the time, you may not have wanted that to be the lead single, but... I think it definitely carved out a path for, you know,
we was definitely on some hardcore hip hop shit, hardcore headbanging shit. So so us to do Props, it was like, you know, all right, cool, we'll do it.
Les, if they were like, yo, Les, the single's gonna be whatever you say it is, the first single, what would it be for Les?
Of that album, I would have did Straitjacket.
Wow.
Just fucking go for the throat right away.
That's it. Boom. The juggler. Damn.
That's one of my four favorites, too. You know?
The next joint is Hellraiser, which is pretty fucking great in itself. I mean, the sequence of this album is truly phenomenal. But let's get into Hellraiser, because you have some pretty memorable lines on here. And again, this is just one of those songs where, like, you could just tell you guys are having fun. So take us into the studio during this particular day or set, and tell us a little bit more about, you know, Hellraiser, what went down, and you know, your thoughts on it.
Hellraiser, we was just talking about a lot of industry cats. And how you know, you can't fool us, you can't, you know, we could see right through your shit. You know, there was one line where I say, you see me and I see you, but you still wanna act like you don't see me. Cool. You know what I'm saying? So it was like a lot of things, you know, and Fast was saying other things about, you know. So it was one of those
subliminals, right?
Well, yeah, subliminals, you know.
Well, you had mentioned in particular, you know, year before, an A&R dissed you and all that stuff.
Yeah, that was all real. That's all real shit, you know?
We wondered who it was.
Tommy Boy was one of them. Tommy Boy was one of them.
Okay.
That dissed us because I rolled up there with some dusty cassettes.
That was it, Tom Silverman or one of the A&Rs?
It was Powell. I forgot his fucking name. It's a black dude. Forgot his name. But yeah.
Wow. Tommy Boy fucked up.
Tommy Boy could have had beaten us on this shit, but they was like, yeah, the shit sounds like, you know, I was like, yeah, it sounds like shit, because we need a little budget to get in the real studio.
Now, early on in your career, before you started, you know, rapping, you were just DJing. I mean, you were a Tommy Boy supporter. You used to get all that early shit.
Yeah.
Electro.
Anything on Tommy Boy, I was right there, you know. It was one of those labels that if you was shopping your demos, that's where you would want to go.
Was there any other labels that you care to share with us that maybe?
Priority. I remember that label. I hit them up. I try to get them to hear some Beatnuts demos, and a few, you know. And then finally, Baby Chris, through Africa from Jungle Brothers, heard the demos and he liked them. So he was like, you know what? Let's take all those demos and let's make those songs for Chi Ali. Actually, that Chi Ali album is our demos.
Your first,
all those songs, yeah. All those songs that Chi Ali singing, like, we sang them.
So essentially, that was your debut album, right? And then you had the EP, and the EP was cut short because we know Al did a bid.
Al took off, yeah.
The EP in itself was great, although it was like an appetizer because people wanted more after they heard it. Yeah. So a year later, you guys dropped your full length Street Level. Like I said,
it actually worked, man. It actually worked for you know.
Despite the source giving you 3.5 mics, which is criminal,
stupid,
bullshit. It was so crazy. Like I said, man, it's one of those albums that continues to bang. It stood the test of time. A great car album, a great summer album. It's just one of those things that truly, truly resonates.
And a great club album in the clubs, man, and all the lounges. I mean, I was telling Al this the other day. The Beatnuts records were fantastic if you wanted to get like a group, if you had the right group in the club or lounge. But all of your instrumentals had that nice jazz flair where people were just chilling, you know, ordering and sitting and not dancing. Your instrumentals, people were coming up to the booth constantly. Yo, what the fuck is that? Yo, what you playing? And I was always saying, yo, that's the remix for the Beat Nuts, that, you know, and had like cool. Oh, you always had cool 12 inches, you know, always great. Hey, hey. Very jazz influenced as far as the pictures, which was nice.
Yeah, man.
You know, we all agree that the reason why this is so great and why we're focusing on this album on this episode is because what constitutes a classic is little to no skips. For me, this album, no skips.
Our skits used to be music, like beats that people used to say, why didn't you use that shit? I was like, because that's a throwaway beat. We got thousands of those.
You know, so I was going to ask you, do other people tell you, like, yo, I love this album, I know no skips?
Yeah.
That's crucial.
Nobody said that. I haven't heard that yet.
Well, you heard it tonight.
It's true speak.
No skip certified.
I was just thinking about that the other day, that at the all the way at the end is like a minute later. It's like a burp.
You burp.
Yeah.
Oh, that's you, right?
So many. Yeah. I think that was Jew. I caught him. And then boom, we just said, I'm a trick the people and think the shit is over. Yo, so many people used to get caught out there. Like, that shit would, like, catch you if you at home or something.
The one that caught me was Psycho Dwarf. Towards the end, you have this one beat that's just by itself in an ocean alone, and it's like that beat is the hardest beat on the whole fucking thing, and there's no one rhyming over it. It's insane.
Hey man, those are little treats right there.
The little nuggets. The the next joint is one of our favorite collabos. It's a rejuvenated Grand Puba, if you will. And you come in crazy. I'm gonna let you take it over from here because you could just give people a little taste of how you started off this track.
Well, it's the way it get, nigga, with the super dick sticking holes like I'm supposed to be in a flick.
One time, I tap your mind, I got you humming. Now you wanna press rewind. I pour rhyme in your ear to the fill up suds. Slice the fucking filling and break up the buds. Who's boot up? I don't know, visit that special. Stick a fork in your neck and pop a blood vessel. The Hispanic chef packs a gat too permanent. Scar your ass like a tattoo. Slam dunk the funk in your trunk, punk.
When that bass line kicks in, right, it's crazy. So this session, I want to know
Bill dug it.
It's crazy, man. It was just the same loop. Yeah. Tell me about, so you got Puba on here. Was it originally with Puba in mind or?
Nah. We just used to go to the studio and bang out records. It was nothing in mind. We would make these records at the studio. Party and everything. We didn't plan nothing. That day, Grand Puba happened to be across the hallway working in another room. So he came over, boom, we played him a beat. He was like, yo, that shit is hot. So we was like, yo, what else am I gonna ask? I'm gonna be like, yo, you wanna jump on this shit? He was like, yeah. So we actually, you know, back then we didn't pay rappers to bet. So what we did, we had a couple 45s records and we just said, we gave them an ill drum on some 45. It was like, yo, that's for you. So that was the trade, actually. That's the real trade.
Yeah.
For a beat.
Hey, Les, bro, you got to do me a favor here, man. Let me bring you in because this is one of my favorite parts on the whole fucking album. All right? Slam dunk the funk in your trunk, punk. Boom.
That's just the loop right there. Boom, boom, boom.
If you do not like sing that along while you're listening to that track, then you just fucking throw away all your hip-hop music.
Whenever we perform that joint and we throw that shit on,
everyone goes, does it.
That shit rumbles.
That should be the crowd loop, you know? Left side, right side. It's just...
We always loved energy beats, like the energy. We like, you know, hype shit, you know?
You remember where you got that? Who was that motherfucker?
Who is that motherfucker? That was from some Shaft or some shit movie or something.
Fucking good, man. So good. Al was saying that you are the king of like little vocal riffs that go throughout the loop.
Yo, everything. I used to sample, from TV. I used to plug my shit to the TV and sample porns and whatever the fuck was on. All that shit from Reign of the Tech. Yeah. Kids nowadays, I got that from some dude talking shit on, I don't even know where, some
You always did it right. Were you an S950 guy or, did, you know?
Yeah, S950.
Yeah.
The SP1200, and later I moved on to the MP.
Yeah. 60 or 2000?
Yeah, we started off with the 60. We did a lot of the EP on the 60, and also the album, the Street Level.
I know it's hard to, like, really say, but would you agree that you both shared the same amount of production duties, you and Juju, on this album?
Hell yeah. Okay. I mean, we, like I said, we didn't have nothing. We would go to the studio with crates and start sampling shit. And I'll play Juju a bass line, boom. And we'll be like, yo, flip them drums right there. Boom, 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 right on the spot, you know? And that's it. We'll tell the engineer, lay this shit. If it sounded good, you know?
Doesn't that get a little muddled when it comes to, like I was saying, like who gets the production credit and shit like that? And that
I mean, back then we was on some, yo, Beat Nuts. That's it. We wanted to see produced by Beat Nuts everywhere, but produced by Beat Nuts. That gives it more of a, like a, instead of just Psycho Less or Juju, or, yeah, you know?
While you guys were down with Native Tongues, didn't he do a track for Moni Love? Didn't he fly out to London?
Yeah, Juju, he flew him out.
How was that, like, kind of seeing the group kind of splinter off and do something like that? I mean, was that weird?
I mean, that was the beginning of starting to travel and getting used to that life, you know?
So was that, which track did he do for Moni?
We did a few of them. I did Pups Licking Bone. Juju did some other shit. We did like 2-3 of them, I think.
Some of the production that you guys did, you know, like you talked about Chi I Lee, but like you did a lot of Common's first album. You did Prime Minister Pete Nice, and this came before your stuff.
You were on Rap Bastard.
Yep.
Rap Bastard,
best song on the album, hands down by far. And a few others too. And then you also did Curious George. I don't think that one came before your album, but it was right around that time. You know, is that the, you know, your production work on those other albums, did that really help you secure the deal?
The Beat Nuts deal? Nah, not really. We got the deal just off knowing Baby Chris, and he knew the heat that we had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a lot of heat. So, and actually, Junk Brothers was supposed to do that Chi I Lee album, and Africa told him, I'm going to pass this project over to the Beat Nuts. They're going to do it for me.
Which was cool.
We was like, hell, we was hungry. We'll take anything.
Before we go back into the album and talk about the Superbad, real quick, because we're talking about remixes, so I don't want to forget. How did you wind up doing a remix for The Lynch Mob, Ain't Got No Class, with Be Real?
I think it was the manager at the time that was throwing us remixes and shit. We were just going in there.
Because that's a dope remix, but that's one of those, like, that's a weird kind of, like, collaboration that you wouldn't expect at all. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, talking about remixes and Props over here, I don't mean to go back, but remember we were saying that we didn't like Props. So that was one of the reasons we did a remix.
Yeah, you got Props.
You see the difference, right? It's more like, that's more, you know?
You would blend into that version when you were performing live. I think you would play the single version Props over here for like a minute.
We still do it.
And then blend into the other remix, right?
Yeah, we still do it.
You guys really didn't like Props over here.
You know what? I don't mind it now. It sounds pretty good. I hear it now and it's like, damn, that's us. It don't even sound like us.
No, it's amazing. It's an amazing song. And it just, like I said, it's just one of those things that always bring me back to remind me just how special of a group you guys were. And yet it was one of your throwaways. But see, that's kind of the funny thing. Maybe it just got you out of your comfort zone. Maybe it was too jazzy when you guys wanted to be too street. I mean, you just never know.
Hey, man, I think we was just ahead of our time and people just catching up right now. Still, people still catching up.
Well, as Jason said earlier, the album ages really well.
Really well.
Can't say that for a lot of albums.
You know what it is? The Beat Nuts, we were a team, a big production team of engineers, producers. It was me, VIC, Juju. We had Johnny Familari. He was a crazy engineer. And we was all like crazy technicians, like all just mastering to get this great sound and the greatest, hardest loops, and magic just happened out of that team, you know? I can't take all the credit, Juju, nobody. We was a team, you know?
Let's talk Superbad. Al didn't love it, but not for any other reason than I think he just didn't like his vocals that much on this. But I think it's a fun track. I think you had the most fun out of the crew. I think you probably had too much fun. And you were probably a liability.
Shit. Holy shit, attack, got the world down packed.
Holy shit, attack, got the house jam packed. World famous beat nuts, making moves that's alike. Black, 24 track, get you the fucking punk. Stand too long and your ass will get jumped. Jump, smack. Watch the elf flow, take a cruise down a hellhole. Make the dead become active. 40 ounce, so I can pronounce every ass there.
I think it's got one of the craziest beats.
Oh, it's yeah. Great.
The part that does it for me on that song is Mr. Sinister.
Oh man, Sinister.
He was on Are You Ready too.
Are You Ready? Yeah, at the end.
That's fucking right. My favorite part, other than, you know, just the greatness of the song, one of the things that stands out to me on going back to that song, Are You Ready, is the shakers. Shh.
Yeah, nuts.
Very unique sound. Like, it stands out. It's almost like the Slick Rick sleigh bells.
Yeah. It's a part of the sample. And it's like an offbeat shaker. Shh. Yeah, it's crazy.
We kind of already discussed Straight Jacket, but I heard that Papa Wu wasn't the biggest fan when he seen you guys up in the club, or something like that, because you guys sampled ODB and there was a little conflict between the Wu people. And I just want to get your take on it. What do you remember?
I never heard nothing. I never heard nobody say nothing. And I hang with them and everything.
I think what he said was ODB was cool, but Papa Wu was kind of like saying, hey, you know, guys violated and
Nah, but back then we was all sampling each other. And
yeah, of course.
You know, that was good. And shit. If somebody sampled my voice, I would love it, you know?
The next joint is like a minute and 20 seconds long or something. It's one of the dopest beats is Let Off a Couple. So, did you guys, why just tease us with such a phenomenal beat for a minute or so?
Monty Alexander.
Me personally, I used to like the beat, but I didn't have no lyrics for it. So that's why I was like, you know what? I'll do a little 2-bar chorus and just let y'all kill the beat. Like I
that's
did
why it's
click,
short.
Click, bam, let it off a couple, one for the beats, two for the trouble.
Bam, let off a couple, one for the beef, two for the trouble, three for my niggas that are ready to set it. World famous, man, forget it.
One of the best beats.
Shit worked, though.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's none of these songs was planned out. Nobody was at home writing, and we would all just meet at the studio and bang out these bangers.
And would you write at the studio?
Of course.
What was the first song you guys recorded for this album?
I'm not even sure.
What do you think? Maybe
it's probably You Don't Stop, We Set It Off, you know?
Okay.
And I think the order that the album is the same order we was knocking them out, you know? Because we start getting used to that pattern and we just want to leave it that way, you know, after listening to the rough mixes and whatever. We used to have work titles to the songs and we would just keep them like Psychodorf. That don't even make sense. That was just the name of a beat. And we was like, fuck it. So keep it Psychodorf.
So certain songs you appear on, certain songs you don't appear on. Like Rick's joint, I don't think you're on that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that beat, I wasn't too crazy about that beat, too. So I would fall back, you know, I would fall back on a lot of joints if I wasn't really feeling it. I mean, it's dope, but it's like,
you don't like the slow ones, do you?
Yeah, I think it was probably the slow shit that I was.
Yeah, I'm following that. You're not a fan of the slower ones.
Oh, it was so raw, though. So raw.
It was raw, yeah, it's raw. Fashion and Juju destroyed that shit. Mm-hmm. You don't even need me on that shit, right? That shit was perfect.
Well, I always found it interesting that certain songs had you, and then obviously Al has his own solo on there. So I just wanted to know the thought process of why, you know, you're not on Rick's joint and you're not really on Let Off a Couple.
A lot of the time, like, it would be just me and Fash in the studio. Juju wasn't even around. He would come, drop a beat, and we won't see him for another week or something. Well, so we'll just be making records with these beats, and when he comes, he'll just drop his 16 or whatever it is.
No, I didn't know. I thought all three of you guys are usually together. You guys are
Yeah, we was together. We would definitely be together, but there was a lot of other times where, you know, it would just be me and, you know.
Well, the next joint's produced by a VIC who's like an honorary member, and you set it off because clearly this is one of those heavy, rough, rugged, and raw kind of joints, which is Fried Chicken. So tell us about this one.
My number one.
That's my beat. I made that beat.
Oh, really? I thought it was
in a Groove Merchants beat.
Oh, you know what? VIC's in it, right?
VIC, y'all.
Yeah. That was just a little loop. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little James Brown loop, yeah, that shit was
that's hard. The illest song on the album to me.
Here I come to the rhythm of the drum. Hook you up on some of that shit, they got your numbers. Open up, hunt, I just wanna see in. Then shoot my seat, man, the intoxicated fucking demon. Shoots the load at home on the road. David Oliver's a style to put you in the boat. Tangerade with lemon, ice with the tonic. Water place on order for a sandwich bag of chronic.
Yeah, that shit is dirty. That's why we call it Fried Chicken, because it was like real fried up, the record, so, the beat.
It's funny you say this. The song titles, now that I'm thinking about it, they all sound like raw beat titles, like without lyrics.
That's when we kept them like that. We kept it like that. That's
yeah, the title, like they're not song titles. They're just beat titles. Yeah.
Like when I made that beat, I called it Fried Chicken. And so that's what it stood. It stood Fried Chicken. You know, yo, throw that Fried Chicken on.
Because you made the beat, do you say, like, I'm starting the shit and I'm closing this shit because it's my beat?
Not really.
Well, it just so happens you did.
Yeah, well, yeah, well, it just so happens, you know? But, yeah, we would just get in there, we'll plan it out. Like, yo, everybody just spit 8-bar real quick. And I'll be like, let me set this shit off.
Speaking of Fried Chicken, I thought that was Colonel Sanders smoking a blunt on your hat, but it's actually Abraham Lincoln.
Abe Lincoln. It's either Abe Lincoln or like dude from Planet of the Apes.
They could be Planet of the
Charlton
Apes.
Charlton Heston?
No, they could be Planet of the Apes. Dr. or whatever the guy's name is.
We're at track 11 right now, which is Yeah, You Got Props, which is the remix to
the remix. Yeah,
You Got Props. So how soon after you guys made You Got Props were you like, fuck it, we can't stand the song, we need to do a remix? Like, how long? Nah,
it wasn't like we couldn't stand it. It was just like we want to do a hard remix, you know, just and people was doing remixes, but a lot of remixes, that shit was in style back then. Just let's try to flip a remix since that was the hot record, you know, at the time.
Pass me the Emma Crow. H-O, any tracks, we got plenty to spread. Yo, I had to fuck up Fred, cause he caught me fucking Wilma Donkey style on his bed. Fucking red handed, the nuts have landed, busting nuts and bitches guts, then leaving them stranded. If not abandoned, house, no blouse, trying to escape. Got the bitch on videotape. You should have saw her trying to scratch the face on the villain. Told the bitch to stay the fuck out the woods, but she chilling. So with no hassle, let me catch you by my castle. If you're a bitch, I fuck. If you're a nigga, I'll blast you.
So here's what pissed me off as a DJ, though. Why didn't you guys put the instrumental on the 12-inch? Because I was like, fuck, I want to rock that in the club. But there was no instrumental.
Oh, the remix?
Yeah, you only had the you only had the vocal version. And then you had the remix. You had all the other versions of Props over here. So,
I mean, but you got the instrumental now, right?
I got it. No, I'm just saying.
All right,
yeah. And, you know, I wanted to play out.
Hey, you know, sometimes it takes a little while to get it.
The next joint is, it sounds like it'd be too much of a party joint for you. Like, you wanted something more rugged, but Get Funky was like, to me, the first club banger off this that you could like, the minute you put that needle on the record, that's it.
Yeah.
This is my pop shit right here.
We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't think. We just knew we liked it.
Who produced this one?
We wasn't Get Funky. I believe it was Juju. That was a Juju loop. Yeah.
Snare is crazy on that one.
With the beat nuts funk, ain't another brother kicking fat beats with spunk. Duck try to test me, but his ass funk. I rolled him in some bamboo and threw one in my trunk. I told you once, and I won't tell you twice. I freak the stunts, and I won't pay the price. To stick it in her paradise, cause it's all good. I know you wish you could.
But yeah, we would flip them beats right in the studio, you know?
So you guys would go there, you wouldn't have really anything in mind, you would just kind of like play around, and then all of a sudden these songs kind of came to fruition, just organically. Yeah.
Wow. Bro, they would, that's why the deluxe burgers would happen, because they needed to eat and write and make beats.
Yeah, it wasn't just us, it was a team in there, like a lot of people, we would go into the lounge and have the TV on, we'll write our rhymes, go back in the studio and drop the verse. And the next year, we just keep it going like that.
Les, did you do all your albums this way?
Nah, not really. But that one album was done that way.
Okay.
It would have been crazy to keep doing it like that.
Man, you can really tell too, because it captures the feel of the mid-90s perfectly.
Yeah, it was a lot of partying going on. We was just happy to be on. We had budgets and all that, and we was just having fun with the music, you know?
The next joint is like a back-to-back home run. It's kind of like what I call Maguire Canseco, from Get Funky to Hit Me With That. This beat, did you produce it or was it Juju? Because this is another one that was like...
Hit Me With That, yeah, that's the Juju joint, yeah.
So this one's slow. Did you not like it?
Yeah, I was gonna say, too slow from
nah,
what
nah,
I...
this one, it was cool. It was cool. It wasn't one of my favorites. To this day, it's like we don't even perform that record.
Really?
Yeah. We don't even perform it, so what does that mean? And we don't feel it like that.
Is it because you dissed Oprah, so you don't want to get all the Oprah?
Nah. I mean, I actually like my verse. I like everybody's verse, you know, on that joint. But the slow shit is like when you're up on stage, you just feel like everything is slow motion and shit. It's like you like to feel that energy. You don't have everybody jumping and shit.
Can you see the single?
Oh, shit. Yeah. We was twisted in that picture.
I think you were twisted for the whole fucking album, if you want to know the truth.
Whole album, twisted. every album, that was the mandatory. Gotta go pick up some blunts, six packs. We would have, like, cases delivered to the studio, whatever.
The next one, I want to hear what you have to say about 2-3 Break and how it switches beats on each verse and whose idea that was.
Yeah, well, that was my idea because I was a big fan. I'm still a big fan of Chuck Chillout, DJ Chuck Chillout.
Adam Herbie.
And he had a record at the time called 2-3 Breaks. I don't know if you heard of that.
Of course, Ventertainment.
Ventertainment, yeah. So I did my own 2-3 Break, you know?
The dope track. Not a lot of people get that one from back in the day.
Yeah.
2-3 Break.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're a real head, you know. So,
you know, I actually thought you were kind of paying homage to Primo and what they did on "I'm the Man" off the Daily Operation album.
Yeah.
That track with J. Rue and Lil Dap, because they do the same thing there. And I asked that to Al, and he said, "No, I don't think so." But he did mention it was your beat.
But if you listen to the Chuck Chillout, he does the same thing. Wow. 2-3 Break. Boom, boom, bam, boom. A different beat will come on.
That's the best part of the 80s that back then.
Yeah, so it'll rock for like a minute or two, and then 2-3 Break, another one. So that's where my idea of doing the, you know.
Don King, he really has big hands? I'm trying to think. Don King, is he that big of a dude?
Nah, he's short.
He references Don King's hands in the first verse.
Who says this?
You're like my king sized dick and my Don King sized hand. I'm like, Don King doesn't seem that big to me because he lives locally, so we see him a lot. But
or he has little hands that make his dick look bigger.
You definitely have some funny fucking lines. Like, your lines always stand out. Because that's why I said I think you probably had way more fun than everybody else making the album. I don't think you remember half the shit that you fucking wrote. Slice your Adam's apple, Kiwi strawberry Snapple. I mean, come on.
I was trying to have. I was just having fun with it, man. And
you can tell.
I was like, I wanted to do comedy in my rap too. So, you know, Juju was like just the hardcore, and Fashion was more like the lyrical guy, you know. I would see him more as the he had the stories, the lyrical, you know.
Yeah.
Me, I was just fucking around, having fun.
You were wearing the tuxedo tee, man. You wanted to be formal, but you still wanted to party.
Yeah.
Sounds like a mullet.
Yeah.
The next joint takes us to the Fashion solo, Lick the Pussy, and then it goes to your joint, Sandwiches. Sandwiches was another one Well, I know, Dre, you were kind of confused because of the...
Well, it's the same sample that goes into Psycho Dwarf, so I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be an interlude, and then it was like, all right, let's just keep...
Yeah, because we do had the same to scratch. The get on down, get on down.
Later on, you released the original version, which is a little bit longer than...
Yeah.
What you gonna do now, sausage, when I strap you to the chair and fuck your bitch with my ostrich-sized dick? Bitch gets hypnotized quick, then I flip her little ass like a sidekick. The name's not Bond, so come on and pass me the light for the hydro crime. Bust it, I make bitches, make me sandwiches, and scratch my ass when it itches.
Now, how many songs did you record for this album that didn't make this album?
A lot.
A lot.
And that's why if you heard the UFO files.
Yeah,
that
I like 40 ounce.
Yeah, 40. There's a lot of joints that, you know, didn't make it. So,
wow, that's crazy.
Matter of fact, we had this one joint that we used the Dwick bass line, the boom, 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 boom.
Al Tariq told us about that.
Yeah. And as soon as we heard that shit, we was like, scratch it. yo, we was like that. We was like, yo, we can't drop beats that other motherfuckers is coming with. We got to hit niggas in the head.
I was hype about that one. That one must have been really good. You guys were feeling really good about that one.
It was a real good record, but
in that part of the 90s though, whoever put it out first wins. I mean,
yeah, exactly. And it would be corny to come out again like, oh, mm-hmm. They did the same fucking Primo beat. Nah, fuck that.
So Les, when we get into the last track, Psycho Dwarf, I'm wondering how you arrived at the decision to put that on there instead of like Reign of the Tech, because, you know, this was on the EP.
But that was like our anthem, you know?
Okay.
We got to throw the anthem up there. I want to fuck, drink beer, smoke some shit.
Yeah. So, is that the last song you perform at your shows?
Nah. We do it like in the middle somewhere.
Oh, okay.
I want to fuck, drink beer, smoke some shit. I'm about to land like an avalanche or a blizzard. So open up, let me in then. Check out the ill motherfucking that swing. Wickety wicked.
We covered the album. I asked the same question to Al. If you have to pick like three of your favorite joints, I know you know we kind of discussed earlier on, but three, now that we've kind of went over the whole album, what are the three joints that you say these are my favorites?
I would say I like Sandwiches. I like the beat, even though it's a slow beat. I like Superbad. I like the You Don't Stop.
Okay.
Fried Chicken.
Fried Chicken. That's I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
You know, that's the stretch on Barbito's show when Barbito was saying the hook, and I just took the clip off the radio and just looped them and shit.
Oh, that's what that is.
That's Barbito saying, I keep rocking to the beat on the show shop. But he was rapping to some James Brown beat on the radio show. So I taped it. I taped him saying that shit, and then I flew it into the...
Oh, nice. There's a piece of trivia for you.
Damn.
Yeah.
Les, is this your favorite Beat Nuts album that you've ever made?
Not my favorite, but it's one of my ones that I remember. Like
most memorable?
Yeah. Every album has this special thing to it, you know?
What's your favorite?
My favorite album?
Yeah.
Well, wow. Now that I think about it, Stone Crazy,
yeah.
Take It or Squeeze It, and Massacre. I also like The Originators. I don't know. So that was like a real underground album.
I hate a cheap bastard.
And I would get all that shit off them fucking Shaft movies and all that shit.
I love that.
The thing I love about Originators is it kept you wanting more. You didn't want the album to be over. It was too short. But that works to your advantage because it, you know, it makes people want more.
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy you say that because you guys had a little bit of a run where, so in 97 is when you dropped Stone Crazy. 98, you dropped the EP to kind of keep people like, you know, keep feeding them joints. And then you came out with Music Massacre, right? The following year. And you had humongous hits. Like, you had bigger hits off those albums.
Musical Massacre got a lot of joints on there.
You had Turn It Out. You had Watch Out Now. I mean, this is the shit that was playing in, like, Yankee Stadium.
Buddha in the Air. Give Me the Light.
Yeah. You had anthems.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty interesting because once you know, Al won his way, a lot of people didn't know what was going to transpire, but you guys kind of almost, you had more success without, you know, Al. And some of these hits, the biggest hits, I mean, Off the Books, can we talk a little bit about that? Because I think that introduced almost everybody to Pun, you know?
Hell yeah. By the time we got to Stone Crazy, me and Juju already developed and we knew what our sound was. We already knew. So that's why that album is like, the first two albums was experiments, like just throwing shit together. And now it's like, boom, with Stone Crazy's more now where we got, we took the budget for Stone Crazy and bought equipment and we recorded the shit in the crib.
It's all love, but love's got a thin line. The Pun's got a big nine. Respect crime, but not when they reflect mine. The shit I'm on is wrong, but it lasts long. When the fast one, a Pun to wake up with the stash going. I'm mad strong and my cream is fast. Smoke the greenest grass. My bitch got the meanest ass and it tastes legit. I don't have to waste a whole case of Chris. All it takes is my pretty face. I'm against the wit.
We took the budget and I got a studio in my house. He got a studio and we would make beats just get together in Brooklyn and in Juju's house. And that's where we took Pun and we recorded all the shit over there.
You know, staying on Pun real quick, because on that track Off the Books, I mean, it was just magical. You guys sounded like you were born to all rock the mic together.
For me, it was like, shit, I got Pun on my, how the fuck am I going to stay up there with my bars up there?
So that's my question though. Was there plans, like did the three of you realize, like, wow, that was a fucking hit. That was a shit ton of fun. We need to do this some more. Like, were there any plans in motion to try to, like, collaborate even more on, like, a potential album together or something?
Oh,
or?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Fun used to always want to work with us, you know?
Yeah.
He was number one on his list every time, you know?
Right.
And when we wrote those rhymes, we all wrote them right there. It ain't no, I'm going to write my shit tomorrow or nothing. We all dropped our verses, boom, and the hook and everything, you know?
Yeah.
And that was as iconic as Choice as Yours. I mean, that is one of those flutes that just comes on in a club or a lounge or wherever you are, especially in New York City. Forget it. Hands in the air. It's done.
That's why did you guys get paid by Jennifer Lopez or what?
Hell no.
What?
Get out of here.
I'm still trying to get paid. Like, I'm
straight
still
jack.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, you know what the deal is? They cleared it with the original guy. But my point is, you didn't copy what the original guy did. You copied what the Beatnuts did.
Of course. Yes, she did.
It's a no-brainer. It's like you copied what Beatnuts did. You didn't copy what the original people did. Because, you know, courts and lawyers and back and forth shit till the point I was like, yo, fuck that. Just keep it.
Between that and Off the Books, you guys were in the perfect production mode. You guys were making real hits, not only for the people, but it also represented where you guys were from.
That's what I'm saying. When J-Lo used that beat, that beat was already 2 years old, and that was our biggest record. So it's not like you jacked a little skit, a little bullshit beat. You jacked a hit.
Right? Yeah.
You understand? And how you not going to even give us a shout-out at least? Yo, shout-out to the Beatnuts.
I would take it up with A-Rod.
For inspiring the beat. Shout-out for inspiring the beat.
Or just have you guys on it for like a quick verse.
Yeah, you could have called me and Juju instead of Jadakiss. And
she worked with Pun. She worked with Fat Joe. I would have thought for sure that you guys were taken care of.
They had the imposter producers, so they had to get the imposter Beatnuts.
Another beat that you guys used that, unfortunately, that summer, Will Smith used, right? Was Gimme the Ass.
Yeah.
Same album, Stone Crazy. So
there's
the same beat that unfortunately Will made a little bit more of a known song, which kind of maybe soured.
But the question was all the time, who dropped it first?
You guys did.
You want the real, honey? Let me let you know about me. Cause there ain't too many people that can talk about me. See, front ain't nothing. Who they trying to jerk? Half them niggas talking can't pay for the work. They in my pocket. This flow, they can't stop it. Shit, 20 bricks in the dream team to mop it. Who won't knock it? Get blown out the socket. See, who getting money? Remain the topic. Woo!
that was the main thing for us all the time. Like, who's going to drop the beat first? That's who owns the beat, whoever drops it.
Everything.
One of my favorite beats that you guys have ever done, my favorite song that you guys have ever done is probably Do You Believe, which is off the Stone Crazy album. That beat, when that comes in, man, that's just like, hey, it does something to you. It's hypnotic. So,
yeah. And it had a cool video, too.
Yeah, man.
My favorite is Rap Bastard.
That shit was ill.
It's hard, and it's fast. It's up-tempo, and it's hard.
That's my name right there.
I felt like at that time, I felt like you had a signature sound around the time of that and like Curious.
Yo, let me tell you something.
Common.
Pete Nice didn't know how to rhyme to that beat. And I told him, let me drop my verse. After I dropped my verse, he was like, yo, I'm just going to do you. Like, boom. But Pete Nice style, you know? Swing on the bottle, rolled on your hoe, now she's a role model. I hit you up, mix you up in my decks of cards. Cutting the deck, gamble times is hard. Diggity, you remember the night that I met you? I dismember your limbs and fed ya. Apple sauce, pork chops and beans. No cigarettes, you know what I mean? Now that you say that, I can kind of hear that in That's not, he rhyming. Never used to flow like, he was like, yo, I'm going to do Psycho Less style on this shit. I was like, let's do it.
I'm trying to think. There was another song on that album I loved a lot too, and I'm trying to remember what it was. It was slow, but it was mean as a motherfucker. But it was on that Pete Nice. Ah, man, what was it? It was really good. It was a sample that's somewhat familiar. Oh, I know what it is. Out of My Way, Baby.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Wow.
With the piano.
Yeah. Yep. The same joint that Large Pro used.
Yeah, you've heard it a few times. I heard it on Double X Posse.
G-Rap.
Thing. Yeah, G-Rap. We heard it a few times, but the first time I heard it was Out of My Way, Baby.
Hey, Les, there's two tracks that don't get a lot of play, but they always resonate with me. Coco Tasso.
Yeah.
Fucking dope. And Down.
Down. Whoa.
Crazy, dude.
Milano.
Crazy. And the way you guys come out, Milano. Juju. Yeah.
Big Sight. Milano. Juju. This I'ma do this right here. Check it. Yeah. Heavy artillery to cover your facility. Murder you like a Kennedy. Change my identity. Then skip town in a jiff and throw the peace sign like a hippie. Smoke a peace pipe like an Indian while police find no evidence. Support my residents for some dead presidents. We bang till they let us in. Blaze mics like veterans. Late nights like Letterman. Shake dice like medicine. It's Big Psych the terrorist. I make that ass bounce again.
Now that you say that song, you know, there's another one I was hearing that nobody ever even thinks about. It's called Nah, I'm Saying.
Yeah, that's off of, is it Milk
I think
Me?
That's Milk Me.
Yeah, no, I totally
make cover.
Yeah, that's so, a nice one.
Why don't you tell the listeners a little about what you're doing? I know you dropped was a Stank Eye like 2 years ago. I want to say it was 2 years ago, maybe.
Yeah. Psycho Less presents Thank God, Volume 1. It's out there, iTunes, everywhere. We shot the video for Thunderbells. That was with Royal Flush, Tragedy, me, and Illa G. Check for that. And then I'm out here, Cali, just working on some weed deals. I'm working on a strain, Psycho Less strain, and also working on a Psycho IPA.
That's cool.
Yeah.
An IPA.
But as far as music, I also got an album with Be Real.
Oh, really?
Cypress Hill. Yeah. Okay. So we got an album in the works. That would be
a good combo.
We got like 7 songs done already.
So basically, Psycho, you're just still fucking drinking beer and smoking some shit.
That's it, man.
I like it.
Now he's
trying to get paid off that. Shit. that's my next thing to get paid from.
So. Les, what was that album you made with the Alcoholics a few years ago that had the
Lick Nuts.
Lick Nuts.
Yeah. Wait a second. That happened?
Yeah, man.
There's an Alcoholics Be Nuts album?
We never put it out because we never finished the songs, but we put out a few singles. We put out a few singles.
Did you guys at first embrace the comparisons, or were you kind of annoyed because people kept calling you like the West Coast Alcoholics and, you know, vice versa?
Yeah. I mean, because we came out around the same time and we was like Intoxicated Demons. They was the Alcoholics. So it was It was three guys. We was three guys also.
Rapping about pussy, beer, you know, smoking exactly blunts. So.
Perfect.
Yeah, and you know, once we met each other, it was like we met our brothers that we never seen.
Yeah. Tash is cool peoples.
Yeah.
Well, you're out in Cali now, so that's why you're working with cats like Be Real.
Yeah, working out here with people. Just you know,
you got some joints with Cool Keith. I know.
I got the Cool Keith album. Yeah, look for that.
Yeah,
and,
man.
You know, the beats never stop. I'm just working with you know, if whoever's fire, you know, I'm trying to bring fire. Right now.
So I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this question for the fans, myself included. But what do we need to do to hear like another Beat Nuts joint together?
Shit, we gotta get something, some bread up, some bread somewhere.
Some later bread.
Yeah.
So it's. Is there's still interest though from you and Juju to do something?
Yeah, of course. Hell yeah. I mean Juju's a monster. That nigga we'll get in the studio, we'll fucking destroy shit with me.
How much material are you guys sitting on that you just never released over the years?
We got so many beats that we stashed them to the side, like, yo, that's a Beat Nut joint. That's a Beat Nut joint. So many. The beats would be done, like already done. They're already done.
Wow. All right, so at least we have that to look forward to, knowing you have a lot of...
Yeah, I mean, and we could probably whip something up, you know. Well, this year, it's everything got fucked up with all this shit that's going on. So, you know, we pushed the Be Real album to next year, and so I'm taking my time with that. Beating us, we could squeeze something too, you know.
Well, that's good to hear, man. So, before we wrap this up...
What's up with Al Tariq? You talk to him?
Yeah, like Al's like,
what's
good.
What's he doing? What the fuck? He don't call me? Yeah, what the fuck?
Al's in Houston now.
All right.
He seemed to be doing good. Yeah, he had nothing but, you know, good things to say about you guys. I know
nothing but love.
I know Jerry's a little. I think he finds a little awkward to. When I told him about this, he's like, "Oh, am I going to be on the same like conference with Al?" I'm like, "Nah, everyone's individual." But it's a shame because I really think you guys had, all three of you guys had great chemistry, and you're part of history. Like that album. Whether you want to, I'm not saying you do, but whether you realize it or not, is all three of you guys. And yeah. It's considered, you know, if not your best work, one of your best.
You know, I don't know if you heard the Big City project that we did.
Yeah,
like,
no.
That was like giving you more Beat Nuts that flavor, you know?
I think we've heard like little sprinkles here and there with you guys together, like on Duck Season with Babu. You guys killed it. But, you know.
I mean, that's the perfect combination, you know?
It really is. But, like, there's a hard, the soft, the fun, the edgy. Yeah. Like, you guys all kind of make this perfect combination.
So, could we try to potentially create a bridge for you guys to connect?
We've done this before.
Hey, man.
You know, we got Eric Sermon and Redman back, so could we get and Juju back?
We never went nowhere. We always been here. Yeah. It's just like, it's nothing like, you know.
You want me to see if Al's available right now to hop on so you guys could say hello?
I mean, whatever. See what's up.
That would be cool.
He had a lot of fun stories, and he was real upbeat and really fun, and it was a good time.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Beating Us time was all fun times, man. All we did was tour, have fun, play our music, and tour buses and all that shit, you know?
Do you remember, I saw you guys, the only time I saw you live was in 1994 in Milwaukee at the Varsity Theater at Marquette, where I went to college, and it was you, Common, and the Boogie Monsters.
Okay, I remember that.
Do you remember that?
Hell yeah. I think it was called The Best of the Underground.
Yeah, it was at the Varsity Theater, which is a really nice spot. And Boogie Monsters opened up. Then I think it was you and Common. Resurrection had just dropped. It was a good-ass show. It was one of the best rap shows I've ever seen.
You got to remember, man, hip-hop was brand new, and the energy was insane, you know?
Yeah. And you and Common were label mates at the time.
It was coming with that new 90s shit in your face, and people was going crazy. Yo, we used to hang out, all of us. Common, No ID, Kanye, all of them. Kanye, like, he used to be like our little student. He used to want to come digging with us when we would go to Chicago. He'd be like, yo, could I come? I was like, let's go. he was like a little student just learning everything.
Where did you, where did you meet Kanye?
And we met him through Common.
How long ago, I should say, when was the last time you spoke to Tariq? How many years?
Wow. It's been a long second.
Juju told me he was like, I want to say like almost 20, 19. I mean, he could have been exaggerating, but it's a long time. A long time.
Man. It's been a second. Well, put it to this way. The last time we did the Big City album.
What is that, like 2001, 2002 or
something? That was probably like the last time.
18
that
years.
So that's 18 years.
Yeah, exactly. That was the last. I just lost all touch with him. I got into other things. He was doing other things too.
Well, he's about to hop on. I told him we're talking to you. And like I said, he had nothing but great things to say about you guys. I know, I know it's a little awkward with Jerry and whatnot, but you know, you guys never had
it. It is what it is. You know, all groups got their shit, man. Not everybody's going to always click, you know?
Well, Les, talk about the process of how you guys got Fashion to join the group. I mean, what was the whole thing? Because, of course, he wasn't with the original album, but, you know.
It was just, you know, it was Beatnuts was the Beatnuts because we would go digging and we was already messing around with Jungle Brothers. So we used to have a little crew around the way, and this dude, Ronnie, one of our boys, was like, yo, y'all should fuck with my cousin. Who's your cousin? Fashion. All right, boom. Finally, we meet him. We got beats. We start throwing beats. We're hanging out one night, you know, in some basement party chicks. We're throwing beats. We're freestyling. We liked everything. We was like, yo, that shit is fire. So that's how we met, through a friend, really.
Yeah.
And it was kind of good because he was just an MC. And to me, it was like, it takes a lot of weight off my shoulder. I don't have to be holding the mic all the time. I could just do my beats that I love. And have a real MC spit some shit that's, you know, that he's gonna represent us too. Me and Fash was always tight though, and you could see we always had the routines and things together because we had that patience to be together like that and do things, you know.
Yeah.
Other people didn't have the patience and fuck that, you know. So whatever. So it was a fuck that, whatever.
Now that you guys are like out in Cali, or you're out in Cali, you're going to do this weed thing. It seems like a lot of rappers are starting their own strands of weed and
yeah, but it got to make sense, you know, like me, it makes sense because we could have, you know, it makes sense for me to have an IPA beer because we've been, you know, intoxicated since day one and the weed and all that. So that's what I'm saying. Some rappers, it don't make sense. Like you wouldn't buy a Talib Kweli beer.
Yeah,
you know, like,
hell no.
Like,
that'd be,
exactly.
That'd be
or even
maybe
weed.
Maybe it's some like, tea, like fresh organic exactly. tea.
That's my point.
Who approached you for that?
I'm messing out here with these cats, the Smokeaholics. They're putting together a big, real. It's gonna be really big. So we're gonna have oils. We're gonna have pre rolls, everything.
I see every once in a blue moon, you and Juju tour, do shows. Like maybe you go to Europe.
Yeah, of course. Beatnuts, we're already setting up tours for next year. Beatnuts, we still tour everywhere. I mean, you know, we cool and everything. We just need, personally, I know, you know, like, I think some bread will spark a little flame under everybody's ass. That's how it is, you know.
I don't know if he can hear us, but we can't hear him.
It says connecting to audio. He's connecting to audio.
Come on, Fash. You got the flip phone?
What up?
Yeah. Yo, you can see us?
Yeah, I can see you.
How many years has this been?
I forgot, like a few years ago at
the show. Last time I seen, I thought it was the Big City. Thought it was Big City Project after that a little bit.
Oh, no. I mean, Big City Project, yeah, but we were that night at Skizz's joint. I was fucked up.
Okay.
Drunk as hell trying to perform that night. It was crazy.
You sure it was Les?
No, it was
definitely. I was probably twisted too. So
it was some shit in downtown for Skizz and shit, man.
I don't think you guys have been sober since 1993.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I was telling niggas how we used to do the studio sessions. Fucking Papa Lou.
I told you.
Ordering food.
Yo, what did I tell y'all? What I tell y'all, bro?
Yeah.
I told y'all I had steak and broccoli like 8 months, 9 months or some crazy shit, B.
From the Chinese joint?
Nah.
Not that.
Real shit.
Like Peter Luger's.
Yeah, some like good medium, shit. Medium, rare, you know what I'm saying? Nice. Medium, I used to get crazy, man. Beer every day, like... It was a crazy process. Yeah, for weed, forget about it.
Everybody would always have weed.
Now that we have both of you on, who was the wildest in the studio making this album, Street Level?
I don't know. It probably went by days. It might have been a day I was zoned out, a day Les was zoned out, Jew. I don't know, man. What you think, Les?
Like you said, man, we all had our little times. Yeah. Once a day, everybody have that moment.
I feel like we're at one of those high school graduation, like 20-year reunions, and we all need fucking name tags.
Hello, my name.
Yeah, that's funny. But yeah, nigga. What's up? You in Houston? I heard.
Yeah, I'm in Houston, man. I ain't that far from you. You in L.A., sure. Right?
You know it. I stay out here like this, crammed out.
Oh no. I got this thing right here. Hold on.
What you got?
Baby, come on, you got the stick?
What you smoking, a hookah?
Nah, not no hookah. This is the TK
oil.
Fucking with this.
How did we end the album?
End it?
No, how did we end the album? I'm talking to these guys.
We ended the album discussion an hour ago.
We're just shooting the shit now.
All right.
Juju burped.
That's it.
That's
a wrap.
Wow, that's nuts.
Yo, Les, who did that burp? Jew's the one that burped.
Yeah, we had Jew on the thing.
Oh, all right. I didn't know they asked me. I was like, damn, I don't.
All right, I got a question. What is your guys' favorite Beatnuts song that you didn't rap on?
Ooh,
a good one.
Mine's is Third of the Trio.
Oh, you're not yet.
I don't rhyme on that shit.
Yeah, that's just
the Nod Factor.
Oh, that's good. Oh,
that's right.
The Nod Factor.
That beat was gonna. Yeah, I had made that beat for us, but Skills heard it, and next thing you know, the A&R's calling me like, "Yo, we need this beat." And I was like, "Take it."
Best song on the album.
Beats like that sometimes. You like, you know, when you hear that shit, and you know, he already knew what he was gonna do to it. Kill that shit. Skills, he's out here too, Cali.
Oh, yeah?
Cali?
Yeah, he live out here now, too.
Yeah, I already said mine. Mine's Rap Bastard.
You sampled Silence of the Lambs for Rap Bastard. That was...
Yeah.
Yep. That was what kind of set it off.
But that was more Pete Nice's idea.
92? When did that... Yeah, no, 93.
92, right?
No, 93, I think that album came out, right? Something like that?
Yeah. Boom.
He told Steve's was the gangster look and the cigar and shit and the suit and all that. So, yeah.
Al, that was
a fun album too.
What's your favorite joint that Les was on that you weren't on it?
That I'm not on. It's a couple, you're not on. Man. It's a couple, but one of my favorites is fucking yo. Yeah, crazy. Nah, they killed that joint. There's another joint that I can hear the music in my head, but I can't think of the beat. But I know when we did the last tour we was all together on, like, loved that shit when it came on. Y'all used to perform it. I'm trying to sit here racking my brain right now. Since y'all said that, that's why I was silent, because that would probably be my favorite shit. Of course, you know, Off the Bugs, Watch Out Now, all of that shit is banging. But that joint I'm talking about, find the shit, man. And
yo, what's up with Problems? Still talk to Problems?
Chilling, man. Problems is, you know, he crazy in New York, hard body, riding them bikes and fucking, he's filming everything. He do all of that picture, video and shit now. Oh, yeah, he's chilling, though. Black is chilling. Black is up in fucking Rhode Island. Providence or something. Both of his sons play sports. One of them just got recruited crazy for football and baseball. He's nice. They just won a state championship and all that shit. Yeah, they chilling, man. They chilling.
So you guys saw one another a few years ago, it sounds like, but you didn't probably haven't really had a conversation, a hearty conversation for yeah. some time. So
oh, nah, yeah.
On Take a Personal Radio, we brought this together. We're lucky that we're even talking to Al. This dude almost died a month ago with coronavirus. We're fortunate that he's here with us and that you guys are talking, because you know what? Things happen for reasons. And, you know, this music thing, you guys have always, like I said, you're a part of history. You made art that is just something that brought all of us together for a reason. And I'm glad that you guys are now back again in one of those lives, at least for a short period of time, maybe a longer one after this, because, you know, you guys together, the three of you, like I said, the chemistry, it was really fucking great. It was phenomenal. And you guys were a part of golden era hip hop and a monumental classic album. So thank you both, because you're on the phone right now. So I could tell.
Oh, man, you're going to make me cry, man.
Nah, you know how I see it, man. Hey, we did it. We made history. We you know, it's done already. Like, we couldn't do those records again if we wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Snapshot in time. You know, we were talking about this. Al, you remember this from our last conversation, but the four of us sat down. This is the first installment of a series of shows that we're going to do that focus on one album. This is the very first one, and the one that we all universally agreed on, because it was that impactful.
Nah, that's crazy. When y'all told me, that's nuts. I was telling my wife that. Yeah. Like, yo, they said, you know, they're about to do a few, you know, this is going to be a series they're doing. And they all had their, you know, idea on what album it should be. And from what I understood from y'all, it was unanimous, right?
It was. Yeah, we threw about 12 out there, and this is the one that we were like, that one.
Oh, nah, that's crazy, bro.
Well, the truth is we couldn't get DOC, so then we just said, fuck it.
That's going to have to happen, though. That's going to have to happen.
We're like, DOC, nah, let's fuck it. Let's do Street Level.
DOC is on the short list, without a doubt.
But yeah,
well, I don't know.
DOC, y'all talking about the Doc?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The one and only Doc.
Yeah, LF. No one can do it better. How good is that album?
One of the better.
Oh, you think we're talking about Redman?
No, y'all talking about.
Oh, because you said Diggy Diggy Doc.
You think we're talking about Dr. Goody?
The second best rap debut in history.
Wow, don't go crazy, but it was good.
What's better?
Nah, that
Illmatic,
hold on. Let's be clear. Y'all talking about the DOC, Dr. Dre.
Yes.
DOC.
Funky enough.
The album was crazy, man.
Ironically, the Doc is from Houston.
Yeah, no, he
Dallas.
Is.
Dallas,
my bad.
Dallas, yeah. He's down here. He's a Texan, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. So could y'all ever get Juju?
Yeah.
No, what do you mean? We can't get Juju.
I believe this is going to happen.
No, look, Dre's one of those optimist people, but no, we're not getting.
No, you have to, Jason. You have to do that. You have to do that.
Can you help us?
As soon as you say no, then we live in a vibration where it's easier for negative or things that we don't want to happen to happen. To be with it, like, nah, Juju's gonna be on. He's on.
Hit him up again. Tell him that you already got me. This nigga.
Yo, love. Yeah. Love. What did you say? I know they asked you on the album being called Street Level, because I told them Beating Us, like, almost kind of self-titled, but because of that picture, we all like that picture and shit. Yeah. And then
just call it Street Level.
Street Level, exactly.
Yeah, we used to just say Street Level.
Yeah.
How are you gonna identify the album? You can't say, oh, the Beating Us album.
Yeah. Exactly. That picture's crazy, bro. And that title just put it all right now, man. Like, Street Level, that's so crazy.
And you know, that's another thing back then that I forgot to tell them. Like, we didn't want nobody to see our faces, remember?
Oh, exactly.
We never used to put our faces on no covers. On the back, we was all blurried. Like,
well, the EP has just EP has like a little like
a just a little eyes. Yeah. You see the eyes, but you're still wondering who the fuck are these guys?
Yeah.
And the album came out, it's all black with a street level. Who the fuck are these guys? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, then we had that whole photo shoot was blurry pictures, right?
Yeah. Like in the back, you see the can't even see it. We're all smudged. It's like,
well, how'd you feel about doing videos then?
The videos, we would try to do them the same way. Like if you look at No Equal, it's all stretched out and blurry and fucked up and niggas like running through the lands. Woods. Yeah, fish lands. God. It was that psychedelic shit, you know?
I asked Al this last week, what's your favorite Nirvana song?
Mine's is Rape Me and My Friend.
Nice.
Did you guys listen to the shit together? Or, you know, was this
hell yeah. We used to be on the tour bus slam dancing with chicks. Wow. Slam dancing with chicks.
Fucking No Doubt's album. Oh my God.
Tragic Kingdom?
Which one was it, Les? I can't think of which one, but that shit has so many joints on that shit.
So 93, 94, you guys are touring. Give me one good tour story that involves the other dude. So Les, tell me about Al and then
All our stories is too like baby shits over the air. Huh? Y'all can't play them over the air.
I could tell you the whole story, but you're gonna have to like bleep them shits. Every word is like
yeah,
and then then you just show us laughing at the end.
What story you said you was gonna say?
I remember we was on a tour bus and we had some chicks in there, and one of them was feeling sick, and she was like leaned over, like she wanted to throw up. So I came over, I was like, "Hey, let me help you throw up." So I started feeling her titties. Next thing you know.
I thought you were going to say something else, but it was so good.
That is a perfect Psycho Les story.
Like, yo, I hope.
Is that in a rap song? Because it should be.
I was trying to help her throw up, though. Come on. I, you know.
Round two, you're up.
I was trying
she
to
threw
think.
Up, though. Yo, I told you, man, anything that I can think of, bro, it's going to involve some horizontal hustle. You know, it's going to involve
y'all can't tell that story anyway. Y'all got to bleep it, and we just laugh at that.
Yeah, bro. I mean,
your one-year-old's got plenty of time. She ain't going to hear this stuff.
Oh, that's right, Les. Congrats, man. You got the baby, man.
Yeah, I got a new one here. A baby girl.
A daughter?
Yeah, she's everything right now. Luna. Baby Luna.
What's her name? Luna?
Luna. I call her Looney since you got Psycho with a Looney.
Oh, man.
All right, Al, you're up. You're on pressure.
Bro, anything that I think of,
think of Florida.
Ah.
Florida. God. Oh.
We was out there. Wilding. 90s? In the 90s, Florida?
My God, come on, man. I know some specific two left with somebody that we ran into that was from New York and was down there. And then I think it was, we was in the room, like our room was next to, I don't know if it was C.C. Pennison. It was one of these girls that was like...
Freestyle girl.
Dancing music, freestyle,
and CC like Pennison is the shit.
I know who you're talking about. Khalees.
No, it was what Khalees? Khalees? Nah, it wasn't Khalees. It was me and you. We ran into
that was another story. The Khalees.
Yeah, that wasn't this one in Florida. Damn, man, you don't remember? Used to always go to his house. That's where we first started like hanging at his crib, wilding out of his crib all the time. You know who that is. And then it was his shorty. And we ran into her. They wasn't together. This is years later, but we ran into her in Florida and she was dating the that was doing our show.
Wow.
Yeah, look, Les don't even remember that shit. It was crazy.
If you guys had an opportunity to perform any place in the world that you guys have been, where would it be? Crowd, venue, era.
I bet they say Japan or something.
Maybe Paris.
Nah, Japan was crazy.
Yeah. Because Japan, they treat you like gods out there, from what I hear.
I mean, not for nothing, man. Our Beatnuts, as the Beatnuts, without fashion, our biggest shows that we ever did was like Barclays. You know, we did Rockefeller Center, Radio City Hall. You know.
But nah, that's big though. I haven't had the pleasure of touching the stage in front of 20-some thousand people. Well, no, I'm lying, because I've done festivals in Europe, but not in the United States. I'm lying again, because we did some shit. Less the time, yo, what's Link?
Linkin Park.
Linkin Park. Listen, we did a festival. They weren't even famous yet. We did this joint. We were on tour. We did this thing. It was a big festival, and they were there performing. Nobody like knew them like that yet. But, you know, they were like on the come up. Yeah. Les, you don't remember that shit? And they was like, they came in our dressing room. Pete was like, yo, they want to meet you. They was like, yo, we love y'all, man. We crazy fans.
They didn't even know.
It was crazy, bro.
Yo, they came to our room. Check this out. I didn't even know who they were. I thought they were fans. Like, so I had a box of CDs. I was like, yo, y'all want to grab some CDs? Just get busy. But I didn't even know that they was the group. And then we was walking down Sunset one time, and Fast is like, look at them motherfuckers up there on the billboard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, remember? Because I was like, I don't know who the fuck Link
is. Canoda made beats, man. He was good. He made some decent shit.
Yeah.
But hey, the bottom line was he was a fan.
That's they were crazy fans, because they was like, yo, give me that. They were open, B. They were open. Yeah, crazy, man.
The Chinese cat, too. The DJ was there.
Han.
Yeah. Han, he was a big video producer. You know, like, he loved to do the videos and stuff.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah. That's the people we gotta connect with.
So we're gonna keep this going. I hope this energy continues, and maybe you guys connect in another way, you know, because as a huge, huge, huge Beatnuts fan and a fan of hip hop, it'd be really, really fucking nice to see you guys, you know, share the mic one more time, you know?
Hell yeah.
I know it's the awkward
mic right now.
It's the awkwardness. You guys can't really say much. That's why I'm saying, like, we want it to happen.
All right, let's do this organically. Does anyone have any fucking rhymes still buried in the back of their head that they just want to throw out?
I have a song I want to sing. There I go, there I go, there I go, there I go. Pretty baby, you are the song that snaps my control. Can I do that?
Fly me to the moon. I want to do the remix to that. Techno remix.
That'd be dope. Techno, damn.
Fly into the and then in the middle it breaks down into a little hip hop beat, like a dirty beat.
Yeah.
How about that?
That'd be dope.
Yo, listen.
Yo.
When you reach out to Jew, right? You say what you said. Say all of that to Jerry. Say that to Jew. Be like, yo, I want to hear y'all on some shit together. That's the ultimate answer, right?
Yeah, but you got to let them know. You got to let them know that it's just going to be y'all and him. We're not there all together. So I did.
He straight up told me, like, he doesn't really like interviews of any kind. He feels it's awkward and whatnot. He's not interview dude.
Well, you know what? Did you tell him what questions you're going to ask him?
I told him the premise. I mean, we want to talk about this album. The same thing we did with you and Al. Like, just break it down. Because you told us stories that Al didn't. And you know what I'm saying? It allows...
Even if you got him on the thing for a minute or 2 minutes, it would be enough. You know, tell him, yo, just three questions.
How about this? Because I don't have his math. Do you talk to him regularly?
I mean, yeah, I could holler him.
Well, just say, look, I did the interview. It was cool. We had a good time. And, you know, if you want to do it, these guys would love to have you. Because I only have him on IG, so
but,
I don't have
all right, all right, but check this out. If I tell him that, he's going to be like, yeah, okay, cool. And never call you.
But see,
where if you hit him up, he's going to see, oh, shit, it's Jason. Yo, you know, from the end. So he's going to pick it up, you know?
Why don't you say, hey, do you mind if I drop him your number? Real cool people. They get it. You know, unlike most people who interviewed in the past. You know,
I let them know. I'll tell them something. See what's up.
Yeah, cool. I mean, we would all love for it to happen because it would be like, it'd be a trifecta to have all three of you guys, you know?
I'm going to get Jason Vic's number because Vic talks to Jew too on the red. Like, you know what I'm saying? Not every day, but he talks to him regularly. You understand what I'm saying? So I'll hit you with Vic's number. I tell Vic I'm going to hit you with his number. I'll text
you. You remember Johnny Famolari, right?
Of course.
The engineer.
Of course.
That's what I was just telling him. Like, it was a team of us, of producers and engineers, and that's what made our music crazy, you know?
Yeah. What you call two? Who else? We brought in somebody towards the end of the out. What was the other dudes we had that was engineering, Les? Remember the black dude that he had used to wear rings and all that type of shit all the time?
Not Troy Hightower.
No, not Troy Hightower. The other, like, slim Greg man. And then I think we even fucked with the Japanese dude, man. Peter Kang. Man. Y'all should talk to Pete. Pete was there every day.
It's gonna be a 7-hour tribute to the street level.
Nah, Pete could probably just give you some nice sound bites. You know,
how about the guy who was delivering you food every day? Let's talk to him too.
Nah, yeah, he was around. He saw it. We might could reach out to some old girls that can give you their perspective on
what about that Shannon.
Now it's getting interesting.
We got Shannon's number.
Yeah, Shannon, so I can reach out to her.
Holla at Vic. Tell Vic, yo, get Juju. Maybe if enough people, like I said, put that flame under his eyes, he's going to be like, all right, fuck it. Because that's how he is. If you keep fucking smacking him, finally he's going to just give it. Yeah,
yeah, I hear
half
you.
Of the albums got done that way. Like, I would tell him, my nigga, he didn't like off the books, the beat. And I was like, yo, you fucking stupid. This shit is a fucking banger.
Damn. Yeah.
So he's like that, you know. Sometimes he could be funny.
All right. So before we end the recording session, any last words y'all want to say to one another? Maybe another 10 years you guys don't see one another. So get it in now.
Until our next Zoom video. Zoom meeting.
I'm gonna do everything in my power to make something happen. I mean, like he said, we brought Eric and Redman together after all those years from our interview of Eric Sermon. So you never know. Maybe something happens with you guys.
Hey, you know, I got music ready, and I got verses, and I know Thrash is ready. So whatever it takes.
Yo, Les, listen. I just I was telling them already about the album that I'm doing, right? And it had got a lot of things that got messed up because of this whole. And all of this, and we was talking to Harry O's wife. Harry O was the dude. I don't know if y'all know Harry O, California, the whole Death Row shit. So his wife is in Houston, and my man CJ got in touch with her to get, but fucking around with no studios. So this week, within the next week, I'm getting all this shit sent to my house so I can record my whole shit in my crib, man. And I had never thought of that, to do that shit, to just download these shits on the laptop, the whole mic shit, the speakers.
Yeah, a little microphone, get a little Pro Tools or whatever. I be telling Juju, shit is mad easy, yo. He's like, yo, you got to show me how to do it. That's the shit. Like, you know, that's another thing about Juju. Like, he's still banging the pots and pans. Like, he ain't on the softwares and he ain't flipping shit like I'm flipping, like, you know.
Not on the DAWs yet.
Yeah, like, I like to be on top of shit, you know, so I know what the fuck I'm doing, you know?
Yes, look,
yo,
do this then. When I get my shit, I got you on IG. I'll just DM you on IG. You know what I'm saying? But when I get my shit, do it, do, I don't know, either way, you send me a beat, I'll good verse and a hook or some shit like that, send it back to you.
Yeah, you send it back and I flip it. Yeah.
Exact. You know what I'm saying?
Period.
Do you you want me to give Les your number?
Yo, Jay.
Les, Tariq, yo, this is again, this has been fun because you allowed us to relive these stories and these moments and the feelings that we had when we first played this album 26 years ago. So thank you guys. I really, really appreciate it.
Now you know the inside, some of it. Hey, yo, what's good? This is Psycho Lust, and we chilling right here listening to Take It Personal. We're going to tribute the Beat Nuts album. Let's do it.
The great Al Tariq, the artist formerly known as Fashion Man. You listening to Take It Personal Radio. They doing us real good right now with a tribute to the Beat Nuts album. You loving it, Les?
It's nice.
That's an exact joint right there, too. And I'm saying, you loving it?
Nice.
That's crazy.
So take it personal, motherfuckers. Psycho Leezy, Beat Nuts tribute. Let's go.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, remember to go to takeitpersonalradio.com and check out all of our other previous episodes, like our DJ premiere and Pete Rock tributes, West Coast Classics, the Crossover Series, or even Respect the Architects. Our website also has a store, oh yeah, where you can cop the latest tees, coffee mugs, and even face masks. And if you really want to show your support, click on the Patreon icon and become a member. Thanks again from all of us here at Take It Personal Radio.